that today. Hallelujah. How many knows that he's here right now? Feel him all over this place. Let me have you be seated for a moment today. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see all our smiling faces today. Good to have a sister Billy with us. Is that right? Good to have a sister. Don't know her from Adam or Eve, but hey, you're here to worship the Lord. You're more than welcome to walk in here. So it's good to have her with us today. Do you have a few things that I really feel I have to talk about? And I hope that's okay today. After Wednesday night, I had a hard time. And I think most of y'all that's heard me preach know that there was something different Wednesday than what I normally speak like. Because when it's not Brother Andrew, you don't got anything to worry about. But if there's anything that gets involved with me, then I start feeling a little shaky and things. And I'm saying this for a reason, so I hope you be patient here for a little bit. Couldn't figure out what it was and things. And I went Friday. Praise the Lord. That was a good time in the house of the Lord. Anybody was able to go to those meetings down in Lima. We had a good time there. I got to the end of service, and I was trying to worship the Lord. You know, you ever had that happen? Was just something there. It's just something. You just, Lord, what is it and things? But I did what I should do. And that's what I try to teach you to do. Is don't go trying to figure it out. Get down and talk to him about it. The Lord knows exactly what to tell you, when to tell you, and how to tell you. You'll just open your ears and listen. And I was standing there and trying to sing, and I could do nothing but cry. Somebody's been there before. You want to be rejoicing? My Ellie Taylor's sister, about two rows in front of us, just lost in the spirit. All over, you know, and it made me go back in my mind. You know, y'all probably see me do that sometimes too. But there you go, my mind said, Lord, what am I missing? You know, where did the joy of my salvation go? Well, went up for prayer, and that took me a battle because I stood there thinking, I'm here and I am, I'm sobbing like a baby, you know, and you know the thoughts that go through as a minister. You go, well, what are they going to think of you walking up there crying like a big baby? But when you got a need, it doesn't matter anymore what anybody thinks. I need to meet Jesus today. I'm going to ignore, and I did. I laid Dawson down, and I went up for prayer, and I prayed, and I asked the brother that, you know, I told you on Wednesday, too, that I've been feeling really tired. And I know I stay busy and things, but if God sends you, he takes care of you. So it's just like Joshua when he lost the 16 men. Something's wrong somewhere. We need to figure out what it is. And when I was just fatigued beyond what I normally am, I began to pray about it, and I went forward in mind. Just after Brother Craig, we were sitting there praying for me. It's just like God's presence is just right here. I feel like I could have touched it. Amen. It's just so thick and just so rich. Amen. I left there, and I was like, well, God, and I just couldn't seem to get over it. Well, on Saturday, I was in my office, and I went to upload Wednesday's sermon, and it wasn't there. It had 0 seconds on my iPod. You can imagine what I felt like at that moment. So instead of, again, trying to figure out, well, what about this, what about that, I got down on my knees and I prayed. And I hope it's okay that this is what the Lord, I believe, told me. Is when I looked around and I thought about this as he showed it to me, I believe that a house needs to be in order the way God set it up. And God set it for the man to be the head of the house. And for you women, especially, or the wives, if you have questions, the Bible tells you that you're supposed to ask your husband at home. And whatever you believe on that, it's fine, but I just believe it. Is that okay? I just believe the scriptures. And I began to think of on Wednesday night, Brother Stephen wasn't here. Brother Rodney wasn't here. Brother Thomas wasn't here. And those are about, you know, as far as families go, I'm not just saying people and things. I said that, and he convicted me that you should have saved that until the head of the house was here to be able to hear what you had to say. I'm not going to go through what I did like on Wednesday. That's the other thing he came and rebuked me about, is I tried too many times to explain things. When Brother Bram had the same problem at times, he said, you try to explain this, and the Holy Spirit came and said, you can't be doing that. Because the word will get where it needs to get. We just need to say it, believe it, and hold to it. If you've got to explain it 50 times, chances are that person's not going to be able to receive it right now. Just, and I just, Sister Violet, can I use you real quick here? We had talked about that Joshua story in there, the question that came forth, and we were fellowship on Thursday and things, and we just got to talking about it, and all of a sudden she looked at me and says, I got it now. You know? know, I'd been up here trying to explain that and trying to make it as plain as day. And again, God has a purpose for that. But you see what happens when God opens somebody's eyes? Like, oh, it all makes sense now. We can't do it as men. It's not intellectual faith. It must be a revelation. It must be something that God opens up to us. I appreciate that. Last night I was listening to Brother Donnie a little bit down there in Lyme, and he was going on intellectual faith. I'm trying not to preach, but you know that's how the devils believe in God? They just intellectually know he's there. That's not how a child of God believes in God. We've got a revelation of who he is and that we're a part of him, and this God is greater than any devil. Amen. I'm going to try to go fast here because I'm going to shock you all here. I'm not actually preaching this morning. I was there on Friday and met with a brother named Brother Bradley Heyman. He's from Tennessee. He's a young man. And one of those things, you know, if you're interviewing somebody and they just say the right thing, that's kind of what happened here. I was talking to him, just a good spirit about it. And he's in for the meetings there in Lima, but I was like, well, you're kind of in the area. Would you mind speaking for us and things? And we got talking a little bit. And one of the first things he tells me is, you know, I told him about the building. It's kind of small and stuff. He's like, brother, I believe in small churches. He said, I got the Holy Ghost in a small church. And that was the right statement I want to hear. I don't want to hear how long you've been studying and how good you are at the message and things. Let me know a man that's met God. And sometimes people get camp experiences instead of the Holy Ghost experience. That's why in a little church, a lot of times you get something rock solid because you can look around and go, ain't nothing just to get excited about. There's something that happened to me. I'm not the same anymore. So we're going to have Brother Bradley speak here, but let me just go through this real quick. Can you give me a little bit of time? I tried to, maybe 20 minutes at most, but I've already taken up five. So let me reread the questions, and I'm just going to just go through what I was trying to say and just leave it the way that is, okay? Would you please explain the sacredness of the sanctuary and how easy it is to grieve the Holy Spirit? Many times, Brother Branham especially, would talk about in the discernment lines, he'd say, no, don't move out there. He said, and he needed to be praising the Lord and things and raising your hand. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about somebody that just moved just to do it or just to take care of this and didn't pay attention. He said, don't do that. He said, I can feel that up here. And especially at the end of the service, you all know you've been here long enough that the Holy Spirit comes. And when the Holy Spirit comes, he's got things to do. And we have to honor that and respect that as much as possible. Adults, you have to give it your all, especially all that don't have children. You've got the ability to just focus straight on that. But parents, we don't have that in that regard. We have to tend to our families. That's everyone that's here, everyone that's got children. If your children get unruly, you have to act upon that right now. If you give any time to that, it becomes a distraction. It becomes it can grieve the spirit away. But child of God, even if that does happen in the sanctuary, you can create enough faith that you can stay in the spirit. Amen. It's not ideal. Let me make sure you understand that, anyone, that we don't want a disruption in the spirit. That's not what we want. But even if it does happen, you can have the faith to stay in that atmosphere. Amen. Isn't that right? You know, David once came to Goliath and heard about the story, and here's this whole atmosphere of unbelief. I mean, it's just everywhere. David wasn't even living in that, was he? He said, wait a minute, isn't there a cause? What are you doing? I thought you were the armies of the living God. And they all shaking in their boots, and even Saul's sitting there like, I don't know about this. The man that probably should have been doing it, but David says, I'll take it on. And he wasn't bluffing. He doesn't beat a bear, he doesn't beat a lion. How much more this uncircumcised Philistine? Amen. And let me finish that here. It says, it seems that he is here many times to meet a need, and the Holy Spirit is grieved away by how the congregation is not respecting the Holy Spirit and the sacredness of the Spirit. It's absolutely true. That can happen. And it has happened. But I also went into other things, and I'm just going to go through this. We have to be respectful and expecting at the end of a service. It's not just the behavior. It's what's in your heart. It's what you're expecting. If you're living in unbelief, you'll grieve the Spirit.
Amen.
If you think, well, I'm kind of tired, ready to go home, you done grieved the Spirit a long time ago.
Amen.
If you're sitting up front, and I'm just... grieving the Spirit. Absolutely. Parents, we've got to teach our children to be reverent. We've got to teach them, especially to protect them from any evil kind of things that can go around us. Because spirits like to move and they like to attack, you know, innocent prey. Isn't that right? Isn't that how any kind of bully works? And that's all the devil is. He ain't got no teeth. He's just a bully.
Amen.
But if we keep our children under that token of the Holy Ghost, the devil can't touch them.
Yeah.
they get disrupted, but we just allow it, that's on our account. It ain't on that child's account. They're just children. But parents, that's us. That's us. You do not let that happen.
Right.
And everyone else, I think you understand that if it does, and even pre-service, I told you that was one thing for sure that we definitely need to work on, is being respectful during the pre-service, and when anything goes on, you know, not giving any attention to that, because our attention is on Him.
Amen.
Fully. Amen. Amen. I also said this, and I'm going to make it a point here a little bit stronger, that I believe what's grieving the church on top of those things is just missing church for whatever reason. We need to get here every opportunity we can. I'm not going to say that there isn't a time when there's a good reason. You know, brothers, I believe that there is, you can miss if you have to work. As Brother Branham said, as far as, you know, there's an ox in the ditch, but don't throw the ox in the ditch on the Sabbath.
Amen.
If he's in the ditch, pull him out. But yes. If he's not, just let it go. And look, it takes faith to do this.
Yes.
Some of you got jobs that you could honestly work on all the time.
Yes.
My dad's that way. He's got a phone. He can literally be doing things all the time. We have to put Christ first.
Amen.
And a Christian, in church is important. I'm sorry. You get out of church for a while. You'll realize it's important to be in the house of the Lord. It really is. So don't try to miss, and we want to get here early, as Brother Ram taught, and I believe it as well. We should get here at least a half hour early, but not, I've heard churches call it quiet time. That's not what we're here for. We're not here just to, we're here to get the Spirit.
Amen.
We're here to pray. We're here to read our Bible and say, get an expectation to hear from God. That's what that's for. And there ain't nobody that's more spiritual than having to pray. That's what I'm trying to say. You don't get to the point where you don't need to pray anymore, okay? That's something you can't do enough.
Amen.
Amen. As far as worrying about others and things, I just want to make a point of this. There's two offices that are given authority to worry about that, and that's a pastor and a deacon. You hear me today? As far as going and doing something and take care of that, that's a pastor and a deacon's job. Really, the pastor shouldn't have to do it if he's got a deacon. That's kind of his role there, to take care of that. But you as a lay member and things, even at this time, even if you're called to be one later, that's all fine and dandy. But, you know, if you can be a good leader, you'd be a good follower too.
Amen.
And one of the best things you can do for somebody that's disruptive and things like that is show them what to do.
Yeah.
And pray about it.
Yeah.
And get that thing under the blood just the same. Just coming from a service with a lot of people, that was hard to be. I wasn't used to that no more. As far as getting distracted and things, like, my goodness, there's like hundreds of people here, and not everybody's taught what you're taught.
Right.
I remember one time going to a church and got done with the service, and I got down just to pray for a little bit. I wasn't going to sit there for an hour or anything, but just got down to pray, and at the back, there's just a war coming from the vestibule. I mean, I'm not even exaggerating. It was just a war of talking and disruptive. And it's hard to stay in the Spirit with that going on. Okay, and that's why I've changed it to where we just go out in a service. That's why, because I've been there. And if somebody wants to spend some time with the Lord, we ought to give that the preeminence.
Amen.
Amen. So I hope that's clear on that. If you have any more concerns, please let me know. The Holy Spirit is so timid. He is. And what drives him away isn't necessarily, I want to make sure you understand this, it's not the action, it's the unbelief behind the action.
Right.
Amen. And that goes for getting attitudes and things like that and getting fussy about one thing. You can't be doing that. Stay in the Spirit. Let that thing go.
Right.
You know,
amen.
Let me finish here. Could you explain also the true function of the nursery according to COD? I've got some quotes. I'm just going to read it because this will be recorded. It's out of 63. It's 1226. Church order. It's paragraph 69. And then in 6303.17, it's the morning guide and simplicity, paragraph 32. Both those, the nursery is to take a fussing child or something's acting up. I believe our discipline, as far as, you know, obviously you can give a little look or something or quiet, but if you've actually got a disciplining child, I believe that's the place to go. And if you're nursing a child, that's where they ought to go as well. I don't think the first little whimper, our women should just run in there. But if you're given a little time and tried and it doesn't work, sister, be respectful of others. It's not the baby's fault, but it's your job to do what you can. And that's why we have that room. I believe we've got a speaker in there, too. And even when you're in there, you need to respect that place just like you are out here.
Yeah.
I understand you can do a few things. You can talk to your children, explain what you're disciplined for and all that. there still should be such a respect in your heart that you're still in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
You know, it's not time to go in there, and I want to talk about this. No, I'll save that for a minute. I mean, you can respect God so much in there. Remember, I read the quote. It's in the Attraction on the Mountain, 65:07:25 in the evening, paragraph 186, where Brother Branham, Holy Spirit was moving in the service, and he said, there's a lady there in the nursery. God's heard your need. You'll be delivered today and call her out by name and all that stuff. So you're not, look, God can still move in the nursery.
Yes. Amen.
Too many churches have a nursery that's just a woman gossip session.
Yes.
That's why God don't move in there.
Right.
Would you sit here and talk like that right in the sanctuary? I hope not.
Right.
But you can go in there and do it, because, and that's the problem. This might be a little, I'm going to hide on this one, but that's why I believe there's an authority of God.
Amen.
Because if women typically, if you let them all get together and there's no one, there's not a man there to keep it, you know, in order, and things tend to go that way. But there's no way to let a man in the nursery. That's just off limits, you know. But be respectful in there, and don't lose track of service when you're taking care of your child. Stay in the spirit. God can still move with you in there.
Amen.
Just small children be allowed to have toys in church. I don't know what COD says about this, but I feel that this would move the Holy Spirit. And I can say, as far as just my feelings about it personally, I could feel the same way. But I don't think anything of what Brother Branham or the Bible or any kind of concept that directly attains to that. We're using a concept here of just respect. Does that make sense? So as far as making it a thus saith the Lord kind of issue, I don't feel at liberty to do that, but I will say this for you that make this your home church. I think it'd be better for your children not to bring toys in here. Is that all right? And that will be something that if a visitor comes in here and things, that's one of those things you just have to be kind of cautious about, because we can get too legalistic to where we'll drive them right out of this place before they even get a chance to see God. God is the one that convicts us. God is the one that tells us what's right and wrong. We're not to take our personal conviction and hand it to someone else. That's for us. You say, well, God spoke to me. He did. You're his child. I'm his child. We've all got to. We need that personal relationship with him. But if you can't directly find it in the Word or something that the prophet said and things, then you've got to say, God, that must have just been for me. I'll apply it to my house.
Amen.
And that's good. That's great. And you have to have that in a house.
Amen.
There's certain things that happen in your house that will not happen in mine.
Right.
And vice versa. You've got to be able to hear from God to know how to handle that.
Amen.
Amen. Be careful as far as children and judging children. We talked about that. Let me just read the, I'm not going to read the scriptures, but where they're at. Matthew 8, 1 through 10 talks about it's worse than to offend a child. It's better to have your neck with a millstone and thrown in the ocean. And then at the end there, he says, look, the angels behold my Father's face at all times, you know, for those children. So be very cautious when a child acts up in things to not judge them in your heart. Know that they're a child and they're not trying to be evil. They're not trying to be bad. They're just a child. And God has given that stewardship to their parents, and we need to pray for one another that the stewardship of God will be in every house. Because a church is only as strong as the families in it.
Amen.
That's absolutely the truth. If you don't have strong families at home, you won't have a strong church here.
Amen.
And make sure I throw that in there. Agree from the Spirit. You already agree to Spirit at home. What happens here?
Amen.
Amen. So every day should be a consecration to God, really. Give me just a few more minutes here. I think it'd be better not to have toys as far as books. If they've got books on Bible stories and things, I think that'd be great for them to sit there and read that and to learn those kind of stories. Those are the stories I want our kids to know.
Amen.
If you don't fill their minds with Christ, the world will fill with everything
Amen.
That ain't.
Amen.
And even we take notes and things, and I'm going to lead into this here in a minute. If you want to start training your children to take notes, and maybe they don't know exactly how to write letters and stuff, I don't see anything opposed to that. If it becomes, like, use wisdom with parents. If they use it as an out to be disruptive, get rid of it.
Right. Amen.
Okay? And that's the concept behind it. It's not this action, you know, toys and toys. It's what is responsible. What happens because that's here.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
That's really the truth behind
Amen.
It.
Amen.
So be careful as far as judging little children. Know that if we just pray, God will take care of it. Matthew 19, 13 through 15 talks about it. Mark 10, 13 through 16. And Luke 8, 15 through 17. Now, this is another issue that came to my mind as I thought of, well, you know, I said, why can kids have books? Well, you all got a book.
Right.
And then we said, well, we don't have toys. But then I was like, well, wait a minute. A lot of times we have these things. Now, I'm going to explain. I can't say that we can't have phones or something you can get on, an electronic device to get on the Bible. I'm not going to say that that's wrong because I'm, what am I going to do with this?
Right.
But I'm going to say this about this device in particular. I make sure it's not connected to anything when it's in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
It has my notes on it. Right when I walk in the door, that's all it's on it. I don't bring up anything else on it because that's not what it's for.
Amen.
I can consecrate this thing to the house of the Lord. Because, and here's the thing, if you use your phone and you get a message come up on the top, you're going to tell me that don't distract you?
That's it. There you go.
Come on now.
Amen.
Facebook, blah, blah, blah. I'm sorry, you ain't spiritual enough to not see that.
That's right.
But if you have a way, and I don't know how every device works, but to where it's just the Bible, that's the only thing that can get on that thing, everything else is turned off, I think it's great to you.
Right.
You know, and people think, well, we shouldn't have technology in church. Well, this used to be a scroll. You want me to bring a bunch of scrolls in here? I'm glad they came up with a book to make it a little easier.
Right.
And sometimes you maybe ain't very good at flipping, or especially if you got a child, you only got one hand to work with anyhow. It might be a little easier just to boom, 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 we're there. Okay? Consecrate the name of God. Or it's just a toy like any other thing else.
Amen.
Especially that the person that asked this question don't feel bad. This led into so many things that I believe are going to help our church.
Amen.
Even Wednesday night, I told you I didn't feel like I went into that like I should have or I shouldn't necessarily have done that. But I watched God move on people that ain't here right now.
Amen.
If we'll commit it to the Lord, God will use it for his glory. Even in your mistake. Yes. And it's okay to say that Brother Andrew did something you shouldn't have. Can you handle that as your pastor?
Yeah.
I'm not God. I'm a part of God. Don't let me get off the word.
Hallelujah.
I'm a part of God.
Yeah.
But I still am part of a man, too. And that man can make mistakes.
Right.
That man's learning. That man's been a pastor for not even 2 years yet. I'm learning a lot of things. But I tell you, without the Lord's taught me things in a short amount of time than what I thought it should take, you know. So what's the main point of all this church order and stuff? The main point is to teach us that when we're here to focus on God. That anything that distracts us from that is bad. That's the concept behind it. And I hope that, you know, when somebody makes a mistake and then you begin to see, if you get in the spirit, you'll see what that seed begin to do. Because any amount of error, it'll compound. But I'm feeling a lot better already. I felt a lot better on Saturday when I got done praying about it, that, you know, this is what I should have done and just waited till today. I explained that in the pulpit. Why did I want to do it then? I was tired. I wanted to be done with it. And that was Brother Andrew. You know, we sometimes use our flesh as an excuse. It's not an excuse. It's still wrong. You're still going to reap for it. It might be a little bit more understandable, but that doesn't mean you're still not. David, with the sincerity of his heart, brought the ark the wrong way, didn't he? And a man still died for it. He numbered the people one time. Wasn't supposed to do that. How many people died from that? I think it was thousands. So you can have a sincere heart in it, but that doesn't mean we're not going to reap a little bit. So I pray if you have bad feelings or anything like that, I pray you forgive me. Because I should have waited. I should have made sure it was done right. And I believe this was the time to do that. So, I love you. Appreciate you. I did look this up just for the sake of just bringing this up. But I looked at all the times ministers have preached here.
You ready for these numbers real quick?
I just thought it was interesting. Brother Alexander's preached 11 times. Brother Collins, we appreciate Brother Collins. He preached twice here. Brother Josh Tucker was here 8 times. Brother Josiah, that one service. Brother Nathan. Been here 7. Samson twice. My brother Stephen here 5. We had meetings with Stuart. We had 2 services then. And Trevor Edmonds been here 4 times. How many sermons do you think Brother Andrew's preached? 140. Okay. Do I think it's, and that's why I felt today that when I saw Brother Bradley and how it all worked out, that it'd be all right to go ahead and speak this morning. This is, maybe I learned it down south. That's probably what happened, isn't it? They just let you preach. They don't care. Hey, you preach it. Come on, brother. Get on up here. Up here, sometimes we're like, whoa, I want to make sure I know this man, where he lives, what church he's gone to, listen to a few of his sermons. We trust God or not. You know, the best, or the preacher I like hearing the most is one I ain't never heard yet. Some people kind of scared of that. Well, you know, it's got to be the first time sometime, right? How many wants to give Brother Bradley a welcome today?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I think you okay with all that? Feel better?
Yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Keep your pastor in prayer. If you have any questions or concerns or any feelings like that, I'm telling you, if you go to prayer, the Holy Spirit will work it out. He works on both ends. Children, you bring them here. Pray for the Sunday school, and we'll start that next Sunday. Wednesday after that. Look at that. Brother Nathan Erickson. It's been a little too long, I think. I haven't heard that brother for 3 months, probably 4 months, something like that. We'll have Brother Nathan here. I always enjoy Brother Nathan coming. So he's the only preacher that doesn't make me feel so tall. Well, him and Brother Colin. Brother Colin helps out a little bit, too. So let's go ahead and sing as our Brother Bradley come out on this. Let me go ahead.